Amen. God is so good. God is so good. He is so good to us today. I want to encourage you, if you have a tithe envelope in the seat there in front of you, to pull it out. Today we're going to remember how important it is that we are faithful in our giving, because it is because of His goodness to us that we have anything at all. So let's say today our giver's confession. The windows of heaven are open over me. Blessings are being poured out. God Himself has rebuked the devourer for my sake. The fruit of my ground will not be destroyed. The vine won't fail to bear fruit in the field. Nations will call me blessed. I will be a delightful land. Today, I'm experiencing God's supernatural increase, and because I'm a faithful tither and giver, I have a covenant of increase, and I will walk in it by faith, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your faithful giving and support for the house of God. I do believe that Loxley is one of the most generous giving churches I've ever heard of or been around, and I just love to see what God is doing in the lives of His people. I want to take a moment and say thank you for these last few days, last few weeks. You all have been so patient and kind with us. My dad moved down here in February. My mom and dad and brother moved down here in February because he wanted to be down here because the doctors had said he wouldn't live very long. So he got down here. They tried to set up a doctor's appointment. Went to the cancer center just so that he could have somebody to go to for reference. He wasn't taking any kind of treatments, but he just needed a doctor to be his doctor. And so they said, well, Mr. Wade, because you've changed states, the first appointment we have available, this was the insurance, this wasn't the doctor. The doctor would have seen him that day, but the insurance said no. And you can take that for what it's worth. And they said, you can get an appointment in April. So they went up to the center there on 90 there in Daphne, and they set up an appointment for April the 8th. At 1 o'clock. Problem was, he had another appointment. At 11:45, he went to see the great physician. I love how God does stuff like that, because when I realized, wait, this was the day he was supposed to go to the doctor. Oh, it is the day he went to the doctor. So I want to take just a minute today. Several people have asked, are you going to have a service here? My dad made it very clear that he wanted one service, he wanted it short, and he wanted it in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I'm going to do what my daddy said, so I'm going to take just a minute today, since he's not here to scold me or look at me from the second row there where he sat when he was able to come. I just want to tell you a little bit about my dad, and I want to take just a moment because I think it's important for you to not, by the way, this isn't a funeral. We're celebrating. As a matter of fact, on Saturday, we've already told everybody that's saying anything, you better not make anybody cry. We want laughter, because if you knew David Wade, there was going to be laughing. There wasn't going to be crying, unless you're crying from laughing so hard. But my dad is with the Lord now. He was a good dad. You have heard a lot of his, you probably know him better than you think you do, because you've heard all the stories. And most of the lessons I learned, especially young in life, came from him. And he was always faithful. And I just want to thank my church family today for your support, for your prayers, for the blueberry biscuits and the chowder or the bisque and the food that's been brought. Now, several people said, what can we do? What can we do? And right now, there's only a small group of us here with the family, my mom and my brother, myself. Of course, Lori and then Morgan and Evan came in this weekend, not because of this, but they were coming already. They brought the two greatest grandkids in the world with them. So we're glad that they're here this weekend. But it just all came together. The Lord brought it together. All of his family was with him. And we just want to say thanks. Thanks for your prayers, your support. If there was something I knew that I could tell you to do, I would tell you, but I really don't know. Next Sunday, I will not be here. I will be in Tennessee. We're going to have a service on Saturday afternoon, and I don't think logistically it would be very feasible to get back here and be in a good state of mind. I may be able to physically get here, but mentally and emotionally, I doubt I would be here next week, so I'm going to give you a break. And we're going to have a celebration here next week and encourage you to do that. We had a business meeting planned for the 18th. We're going to move everything back 1 week. We had a council meeting planned for next Monday. Everything is moving 1 week forward, and we're going to keep going, because I believe that the days in which we're living are so critical that we don't have time to waste. And so I hate to even move everything by a week, but I've got to do that, and I've got to do what's right for my family. And I appreciate your prayer. So this Saturday, about 1 o'clock here, If you think about your pastor, just pray for us. We're going to be celebrating his life. And my dad loved garbage equipment. That's what he's done. Some of y'all may have heard the term Dempster dumpsters. Dempster was the company in America that kind of started the garbage industry. And my dad worked for Mr. Dempster directly. Mr. Dempster's wife would fly in. This was back in the 60s when people didn't fly in back in the 60s. But when Miss Dempster would fly in, my dad was the person that would go pick her up and bring her home and help buy. I mean, my dad was right there. So my dad has literally been in the garbage industry since he got out of high school. The last conversation we had, would you hand me that stool, Mike? The last conversation I had with my dad, we were quoting a piece of equipment to the farmhouse restaurant in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. It's the last conversation I had with him. And some of you may say, well, that's very impersonal. Didn't you have a deep spiritual talk about? Nope. We were talking about how many amps the compactor needed. And I wouldn't have it any other way. And about 10 years ago, he was visiting us in Oklahoma. We were standing out on the field looking at a herd of buffaloes. He wanted to go see the buffaloes. We went to see the buffaloes. And we're standing there. I said, Dad, how long are you going to work? How long are you going to keep working? He said, son, till you put me in the ground. I'm going to tell you, he kept good to his word. Because the last conversation we had was trying to figure out if Farmhouse Restaurant needed 230 amps on their compactor. You may not know what that means. Truth is, I don't know what it means either. But the guy at Farmhouse does. And we made a sale. Hallelujah. I don't know who's going to go up there and install it. But if I have to go back to Gatlinburg for a day or two, y'all can go with me. How's that? But I'm thankful today for family. I think it's ironic that this message and this thing that I'm going to share with you today is had nothing to do with my dad passing. I already had planned to share what I'm getting ready to share with you. So I just think God put this together. And just to be clear, I don't want any of you feeling sorry for me. If I cry about my dad, it's just because I loved him and we had a great relationship. And he was an amazing guy. But I want to talk to you today about family matters. Now, some of you are saying, oh, no, my family's a mess. I'm not talking about your family that's a mess. Or I'm not talking about your family that's perfect. I'm talking about the family of God. I want to just talk to you today. And I have a lot of scriptures I'm going to refer to. But I don't have one scripture because I just wanted to talk to you today, the Sunday after Easter, and just share my heart with you. And I promise you, this was already planned and scheduled before this happened with my father this week. And I just felt like maybe this is God getting me ready for this moment to talk to you from my heart. So I want to talk to you. This is a sermon. But anytime you want people to remember, if you do something over and over and over and over again, if you want people to remember something special, something different, you want to do something different. So I'm sitting on a stool right here in front of you, in front of the world, on purpose, not because I'm lazy, not because I'm not going to run around and shout and hoop and holler, but because I want you to remember this day. I want you to hear my heart. You see, the last year, the church world has gone through an upheaval. I'm not talking about Loxley Church. I'm talking about churches everywhere. A little over a year ago, the government told us you have to shut down your churches. In Alabama, they told us we had to stay closed for 9 weeks. On May 17th last year, our governor said, you can open and have church, social distance, wear masks, do all this stuff. You can do that. And so we waited a week, and I sent leaders from this church to other churches who were having church on that first Sunday while I was preaching here to a video camera and to you while you were watching online. We had leaders from our church that were visiting other churches in the area to see how they did it. How did they distance? How did they welcome people in? How did they wash hands? How did they do the? And we did everything we knew to do to keep this place safe. We opened the next week. We haven't had except 1 week in December. Right after Christmas, we had an outbreak of COVID in our church. We had about 35 people that week that either they had it or somebody in their house had it. And we said, we can't risk coming together as the body if there's that much infection, if there's that much going around. So we did. By the way, we were still here, and we still had church, and it was online. But we've only missed one Sunday since May 24th last year. And I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, God's been good to us. There's churches in our area that haven't been able to reopen for whatever reason. Because of that, many churches financially haven't been able to survive this last year. It is estimated by experts. I'm not sure who the experts are, but the people that I read, that I trust, tell us that in the next 5 years, as many as 30% of churches in America will close its doors and never reopen because they're going to have a hard time coming out of pandemic. Just the whole thing. It's been difficult. It's been hard. Besides that, we have in some states in our nation governors and leaders who are trying to shut churches down. They're telling you, you can go out and riot and protest. You can go out and cause trouble, and it's okay. But don't go to church. You might get sick. The priorities in America have changed. I heard the other day that Dr. Fauci told us that starting in September, churches can start singing together again in public. I said, uh-oh. I think we might have been a little bit ahead of that. Now, I'm not making fun of the virus. I've preached 8 funerals related to COVID. I am not mocking. I am not putting down this pandemic. I understand that it is real. We have taken it seriously from day one, but we haven't walked in fear. Because of your faithfulness and people in this community, because of what God has done, we have survived a hurricane where we gave out in 3 days over 3,000 meals. We gave out somewhere around $100,000 worth of product that was donated to us. We have started, just before pandemic, we had started a food program which has grown now from 10 kids. I think we're at 57 kids that we're feeding in Locksley schools every week. We send them a backpack or a bag full of groceries home every weekend so that they can eat. 57 kids get to eat because of you from Friday to Monday every week. Y'all, the tithing has been consistent. It's been faithful. Because of the payroll protection plan, we had a bump in our income there. But even without that, we had a bump. And we have right now, this church is blessed financially. Now, we don't have a lot of extra. Don't get me wrong. We have a budget. But there's churches that can't meet their budget. There's churches that can't do anything right now because of the result of this pandemic. I want to say to Locksley Church, you are amazing. You are amazing because you have been faithful people. Hey, look, I'm not going to start calling names. If I start calling names, we'd be here till 2 o'clock. Not going to do that. We have people that have driven here and dropped off their tithes. We've had people that passed away and their children wrote their last tithe check and said, Pastor, Dad would be mad if we didn't give you this. I'm like, what's that? That's his final tithe check. I said, don't worry about that. He said, no, you don't understand. My daddy paid his tithes, and he's going to pay his last tithe, and here it is. I don't think you can get more faithful than that, can you? I mean, that's who this church is. That's who this community is. And because of God's faithfulness, Locksley Church has not only survived but thrived. We hired a digital media director that is making a huge impact in a lot of our ministries. Last week while we were in here and our sound was running and everything was going smooth, you don't know that Lucas had to go to the kids' building 3 times because they were having trouble over there. You don't see that. You don't see the videos that he makes. Woody Cotton does an amazing job with our discipleship. And so we didn't have a lot of people coming on Saturday morning, so we've turned it into a digital media event. So Lucas and Woody are getting together, and they're taping about a 7 to 10 minute discipleship teaching from Woody. It's going on Facebook at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. And then we are establishing a really cool teaching pattern in what's called Right Now Media. Right Now Media is free to you. Most of you have it. If you don't, please call the office or see me after church. We'll get you the Right Now Media subscription. It's a subscription the church has. We pay it each month so that you can have access to over 25,000 teaching tools, videos, teaching. There's 2,500 videos just for children under the age of 3. It's an amazing resource. It's free to you. Now, if you say, well, I like to pay for what I get, you can make a donation to Right Now Media if you want to, and we'll put it toward that part. But it costs us $250 a month, and it's the best $250 we spend because it gives you access to any topic you want to study the Bible. There are 64 Bible study series just for teenagers. Teenagers, I hope you're using it. If you don't know about it, come see us. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? We have not sat back and said, oh, no, the pandemic's going to get us. We've moved forward. We've given you a tool that you can study the Bible. We've given you resources that are for your whole family, because we believe that the real discipleship that takes place, while church is very important, the most important discipleship takes place in your home. That's hard for people to get, because you go to church, you stay home, it's different. See, we're saying to you, what happens in your home is very important. What happens around the coffee table, what happens at the Waffle House, it's very important. That's where I like to meet with people. If we got a small group, let's just go to Waffle House. We can all split the All-Star Special and have enough food. I can promise you that. That's wisdom I learned from my dad. You can just get one All-Star, son, and everybody can eat off of it. So that's what we did. We're moving forward. We have somebody now that's doing that, doing a great job, and developing. Lucas is growing every day. During this transition, our children's pastor was led to go back to school and continue her degree in the medical field. She's done a great job. In the process, she got married. God brought her here so that she could develop this children's ministry, so Thomas could find her. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. I think some people in this church might have been responsible for them finding each other. But she's happy. She's doing great. God's blessing her. And the council looked at me and said, Pastor, we want the best. We want the best children's pastor we can find. And we got him. As a matter of fact, I wasn't even going to call Rick because I knew that it would just be too difficult for them in their stage of life. They have kids, grandkids. They're settled in Dalton, Georgia. They're doing fine. And I called him, and they started praying. The next thing you know, here he sits. His wife, yeah, amen. His wife is staying back in Dalton while the girls finish up their school year. Anybody who has kids understands that. And they're going to be here. And I'm telling you, God's already doing some great things. Today, after second service, having a luncheon for all of our kids' ministry workers. And if you want to work in kids' ministry, I know we had an RSVP to know how much food to get. We can cut those sandwiches if we need to. If you want to get involved in kids' ministry, you can pass a good background check. We're doing. You say, what's that? Why is that important? Because kids are where it's at. See, children's ministry is not just a program we do. It's not babysitting. Children's ministry is training kids to love Jesus, to love each other, to worship, to know the Word of God, and to be commissioned and used for the glory of God. So God has brought us. And that's during the pandemic when other churches were struggling. Now you say, why weren't we struggling? Well, we did struggle, but we did most of our struggling in prayer. I'm not saying they didn't. I'm just saying that's how we got through. That's how we got through, is we prayed and God has helped us and God has blessed us. We have an amazing council. I want you to know Loxley Church right now is strong. But I want to talk to you for just about 5 or 10 minutes and tell you some things that I need your help with. Because of all the coming and going, some of you have come from churches that closed, and we are sorry your church closed. We are in no way trying to take advantage of that. We're not trying to grow because somebody else closed. That is in no way our heart. But if your church has closed, or you have moved here, or you are in a transition in your life, we want you here. If you're watching online, we want you here. Because we believe the body of Christ is stronger together. So whether you're watching online or you're sitting in the sanctuary today, you're part of this church and you're valuable. We have people that came back last week for the first time in 12 months, and it was like they never left. And they didn't really leave. They just hadn't been able to come because of health concerns, which we totally understand. But we're in a place now where we're moving past the pandemic. I wanted to call this sermon Coming Out of COVID, but I didn't think that would be real well received, so I'm just throwing that out there. I probably won't even say it second service, but I just feel like that we're moving forward, and here's what we need. We need to know who you are. Some of you I haven't met. I was in Fairhope the other day at a store, and a man said, I won't say he screamed out, but he said really loud, he said, "Hey, there's my pastor." And I went, he said, "You, Brian Wade." I said, "Sir, have we met?" He said, "No, I've only watched you online, but I feel like you're my pastor." Y'all, I about did my dance. I almost danced in the Walmart. I didn't, but it was close. I didn't want to, I knew there were surveillance cameras, and I didn't want that caught on video. The truth is, and this is where the council's at right now, this is where the leadership is right now, I need to find out who we are. I need to find out who, not we as a church, are, but who you are. I want to be, and I know this next week, my schedule is going to be crazy. I got to go do a service, so I'm not talking about something we got to do right this moment, but I'm telling you, in the next few days and couple weeks, I want you to know, we want to get to know you. Now, here's the struggle we have. Some people come to church to hide. They slip in, okay, and they get here. Church starts at 8. They get here at 8:04. And when I say everybody stands and the music starts playing, they slip out. Okay? They're called slip in, slip out. They're CISOs. You may be a CISO. I made that up. It's not in a book. They slip in, slip out. I want you to know you're welcome here. And it's okay to slip in and slip out. There's people that have been hurt in churches. There's people that are going through the process my family's going through right now with the loss of a loved one, and they just can't bring themselves right now. I was in the hallway back here thinking I was doing good. Mr. Pastor got it all figured out. I know my dad just passed away, but I'm strong and I'm tough. And Dale Causey walked up and did like this, and I broke down like a baby. Thanks, Dale. That's why I didn't come out early today in fellowship, because I knew I'd be bawling like a baby because y'all would be telling me how much you love me and how much you're praying for us. And I'm not in a place to handle that right now. I'm not avoiding you. I just didn't want to see you. I did want to see you, but you know what I'm saying. Some people are in a place where they're not ready to engage yet. Did you know there's people that come to this church that are not Christians? They excite me the most. I love it when sinners come to church. I do. Oh, my goodness. I love sinners coming to church. If you're a sinner, come to church. Watch online. Why? Because you get to be exposed to the greatest group of Christians that I know here at Loxley Church. People that love each other and love God and do anything for you. I love the fact that sinners can come to this church. People come and grapple with their faith. They're not sure if they want to be a Christian or not. They come check us out. There's other people that have moved in the area, and they'll check us out for 2 weeks, and then they'll be gone, and then you'll see them again, and then they'll be gone again, and you'll see them again. What are they doing? They're checking out the options they have for churches. And can I tell you, that's cool. What, Pastor, you don't want to just lock everybody down in Loxley Church and find a chair and put handcuffs on them? Of course I do. Of course I do. I think everybody in Baldwin County should attend this church. I want to be everybody's pastor, even the guy at Fairhope that I hadn't met yet. If you're watching today, come see me. I'd love to talk to you some more. His name was John. But some people come to church because they're hurt. Some are searching, and it's okay to search. Some are comparing, especially the younger generation. They're trying to figure out if Christianity is real. Or is it Buddhism? Or is it Islam? Or is it atheism? You say, well, Pastor, you shouldn't talk about that in church. We better talk about it in church. And I want you to know, if you're searching, this is the place to be. Because here at this church, my prayer and my hope and my design is that everything you hear will point you to Jesus, not away from him. Because when you find the real Jesus, you'll never let go. Oh, you may struggle, you may slide, you may stumble, but if you find Jesus, let me rephrase that. When Jesus finds you, because he's searching for you, and he touches your heart, you'll never be the same. We want people here that are searching. I do, don't you? There are families when they split up. Oh, don't talk about that in church. When families go through trouble, they won't go to church. I have met people who said, well, I would come to your church, but my ex goes there. All right, I told you, I'm just going to be real today. I don't have anything to hide. And I'm like, guess what? We got 2 services, 4 sections, and 2 balconies. Y'all can avoid each other all you want, but don't avoid Jesus. Well, Pastor, how do you deal with it? I don't know how we deal with it, except in love. There are some people who are here, and they've come from, maybe they moved here from somewhere else. Some of you have moved from other places, and you come here, okay? And you're looking for the church that's just like the church you were in there, because it was the perfect church, and that's where you've been for 20 years, and they come here, and they're like, nah, this church is nothing. I'm going to tell you, we're probably not like any other churches, and I'm probably not like any other pastor. There's good and bad to both of those. But it's okay to be searching. And if you have questions, please ask. One thing that we really, and this is one thing I want to make a serious point about, one thing that pandemic did to us was kept us from being able to continue with the process we had called Engage. It's where people that are new to the church will come to 4 meetings, and it's in a small group setting, it's in a close setting, you learn about the church, you find out what we believe, how you can get involved in ministry, making sure you understand salvation, leading you hopefully to baptism and possibly even church membership. Church membership's not our goal. Baptism's our goal. Make sure you're saved. That's our goal. But in the process, we offer church membership. And you say, what's church membership do? Well, it gives you a chance to vote if we ever have a business meeting where there has to be a vote. That's what church membership does. We don't treat anybody differently. The only time that church membership is a matter is when there's a vote for something. Usually it'll have something to do with money or a new pastor, and I'm not planning on you getting a new pastor anytime soon. So is church membership important? It is to me. I value that. Some of you say it's no big deal. Guess what? It's okay. You don't have to be a member. We're going to treat you just the same. We don't withhold anything from you at all, unless we're voting on something about money and you got to be a member. That's not our rules. That's the bylaws. That's who we are. But pandemic has kept us from being able to engage people. Amy Causey is a master at doing that process. That process got stopped with the pandemic. Paula Buettner was involved in that process. Those processes have halted, not because we wanted them to, because we don't know what to do. We're not supposed to go visit people in their home. That's what they tell us. I understand that's lifting a little bit. I'm glad that the governor lifted the ban or the some of the mandates this week. I'm not even sure. I read it. I'm not sure what it all means. But I will say this. We want to find that process. We're calling, instead of engage, we're calling it Discover Locksley. And we're going to have video involved. We're going to have classes involved. We're going to have fellowship times involved. We're going to have meal times where we say, if you're new to the church, please come to this meal. Give you a chance to ask questions. Gives us a chance to answer. We're going to brag about what Jesus is doing here. We're not going to brag about ourselves. We're going to brag about what God's doing. If you ever hear us bragging about ourselves, you need to pull me aside and say, Pastor, you sound a little proud there. Let's get back to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about what God's doing. But we are literally this week, now it may be next week, we are putting together a process by which every person who comes through these doors will have the opportunity to engage in this church and be part of this church and to feel like you're part of this church. Some people have been coming here for a couple of years and like, we're new here. Let me tell you something. Once you've come the third time, you're family. First time, you're checking us out. Second time, you're wondering if what you saw was real. And the third time, you're family. You're here. Do we mean that, Loxley? Is that how you feel? Say amen. We want you to feel a part. Now, people that are going to be in leadership, we're not going to get you here. You'll be here 3 weeks and we stick you on a pastor's council. We're not going to hand you a microphone and say, preach to everybody. You'll develop those relationships and those skills so that you can develop. And that's what we want to do. And that's my job, is to develop you. Well, the last year, we haven't been able to develop. We haven't been able to develop because of this pandemic. Now, we've had Bible studies on Zoom. Zoom is when you get on your computer or your phone and you talk to people all over, wherever they're at, and it's like you're sitting in a room together, but you're on the computer. We had Zoom Bible studies. We've had Zoom meetings. We have ladies that meet in coffee shops and in rooms, and we have grief care for people who are going through grief. And so we've got all these tools, but right now we've had a hard time putting it all together, not because we didn't want to, but just because it hasn't been safe to do so. The last thing I've wanted this past year is for anybody to contract a virus here at this church that could cause them any kind of problem. And we've been very careful about that. I don't think we've been paranoid about it, but we have been careful. And I don't apologize for that. I know some people said, oh, don't worry about it. Just go. Don't worry about it. I understand that principle. My dad had that idea. He let them know at the hospital a couple weeks ago, I don't want a COVID shot. They said, we have to test you for COVID. And they tested him. And he said, told you I didn't have it. It was funny. You got to know my dad. He was hilarious. He didn't have COVID, but we understand it. So we as a church right now, I feel like we're a 78-year-old church that's getting ready to plant. I feel like we're a church plant. A church plant is when a church like ours, for example, could do this. Could a group of people from this church could go and plant a church in another city or another town or another country. And that's called a church plant. It's when a group of people get together and start a church. It's called a church plant. Did you know that 99% of growth in American churches today are taking place in church plants? Is that true? That's true, Mark, isn't it? So if what is growing is church plants, Let's be Loxley Church Plant. Let's be. Now, I'm not talking radical, y'all. I'm talking from my heart, and I promise you, I had this plan before my dad passed away. But I want you to understand, we got to do things differently than we've done them. We got, and I don't even know what all that means, but I do know this: it's about engaging you in the process. Because in the past, people have built their ministries on their name, and oh, that's. So-and-so's the pastor there, and we go there because we love that pastor. Well, that's great. I hope you love me. I really do. I really want everybody to love me. I got a complex about it. I want everybody to like me. When I think somebody doesn't like me, I'm going to go overboard trying to make you like me. But it's not about Brian Wade. It's not about the Church of God that we're a part of. It's not about a style of worship. It's not about if you read the King James or the New King James or the English Standard Version, which, by the way, just as a note, the English Standard Version is more King James than the King James. You wonder why I read from it? It's because it's very close to a literal translation of the Bible. King James is close, too. English Standard is more close. If you're reading the Message, that's a paraphrase. That's what one guy thought it said. There's nothing wrong with the Message. I got one, and I read the Message. Occasionally, I even refer to the Message. I'm not against it. But it doesn't matter what version of the Bible you read. Just don't read the Book of Mormon or the Quran. Those are not the same, okay? That other testament of Jesus Christ, that's a cult. Throw it away. But if you're reading the Bible, it doesn't matter what version to me. It doesn't matter if you sing, my dad loves Southern gospel music. He loved the Redback Hymnal. Some of y'all say, oh, yeah, me too. Guess what? That's great. And we sing them on Wednesday night. And we sing them well. We have get this, look what the Lord has done. We have somebody that's part of a Southern gospel traveling quartet that comes and stands here and leads worship with the best band in the world. Lola and Junior, and when Daryl's in town, they play. I'm telling you, on Wednesday night, the music in here is awesome. If you like that kind of music, we offer that. Why? Why do I do that? Some people say, well, why do we sing that music? We don't sing that in church. I'm going to tell you something. If it's something you enjoy, I'm going to do my best to make sure you get a taste of it. Because I respect you that much. I respect you enough. And some of you say, oh, you're talking about the older people? No, did you know there's younger people that ask me all the time, why don't we sing the hymns? Because that's not the style of worship we have. God has led Mike divinely over the last few years and brought this church to a place where we are truly able to use contemporary music to reach a generation like we never have. We are in a great place in our Sunday worship. You may disagree with that. It's okay. I love our Sunday worship. I love the song selection. I love our singers. I love our musicians. I love it all. And Mike Middleton, you will not find a better man on the face of this earth than Mike Middleton. Okay? And if anybody says anything bad about him, they better come through me. And I'm going to probably tell you to hush. If I'm nice, I'll say hush. If I'm having a bad day, I might tell you to shut up. Don't mess with the people God's called and put in place. You say, is it about music style? No, it's about the way we treat it. And we do. By the way, everybody respects Mike Middleton. I want to make that clear. If you're new here, everybody respects this man. I have not heard one word. Mike, you need to hear this. Barbara, I've never heard one negative, bad word toward our staff, toward Mike Middleton, toward Barbara, toward our music. Not going to hear it because it's not. You say, what's that about? It's about who we are. It's about a family matter. So if you don't like Sunday morning songs, that's okay. I happen to love them. But you can come on Wednesday night and get a taste of that, or you can go to the youth. You can go to the gym and the youth sing some different kind of stuff than that. And if you really want to have some fun, go over with Pastor Rick. They'll be jumping and spinning. It's not about music style. It's about saying we're family. So I want to say to anybody that's left, maybe you're watching online right now. If you hadn't found a church home, come back. You left here hurt? Come back. You left here angry? Come back. You left here disillusioned? Come back. You left because you don't like me? Come back. Come back. You don't have to like me. But you got to love the body. You got to love your family. And I'm not here with an ego, and I'm not trying to convince you of anything. I'm just talking to you today about family matters because we need each other. Just a moment, I'm going to close this. If this is a sermon, I'm going to close it out because some of y'all have already thought he hadn't even read a Bible verse today. That wasn't a sermon because he didn't quote a scripture. No, I just told you what the Bible says. So I'm going to give you a Bible verse. Those of you who love to hear a Bible verse before or after the preaching, here it is. love one another as I have loved you. So in the days ahead, I want you to know that if you consider yourself new here, we are so glad you're here, and I don't want you to feel like a new person anymore. I want you to feel like part of the family, okay, first of all. If you're here and maybe you're disgruntled and you think, well, why don't we do this and why don't we do that and that church does this and that church does that, why can't we build more like them? Because we're not them. Will we get there? Do we try other things? All the time. We just redesigned this whole stage. You ready for this? Some of y'all don't even know. I'm getting ready to make an announcement to y'all. Y'all don't know it. For the last 5 weeks, we have brand new electronic drums right back here. Why would you buy electronic drums? Because on the feed online, our old drums couldn't be fed through, and it wasn't a good sound. And so we bought electronic drums so people who are watching online can get the full effect and full intensity of our worship. That's how much we care about people. It's not about the drums. Chris, who plays the drums most of the time, he said, I don't care. I'll play whatever's here. But in consultation with Mike, with Lucas, with our people who watch online, we have made a huge improvement in the last year. Those of you who watch online, you already know this. We've made huge improvements. Why are we doing that? It's because we're family and we want you connected, even if you're not in the building. But we want you to get involved. And if you're a slip in, slip out, just keep slipping in, slipping out till you get stuck. Stay an extra 5 minutes and shake a couple hands or give a couple fist bumps. Learn somebody's name every time you come to church. Let that be who our family is. Let this family be about making sure everybody knows they're valued. Now, you may be here for the first time today and going, what is this about? Normally, I stand up, open my Bible, and I preach like people preach, okay? But today, I'm just talking to you about family matters because it matters most. Now, we could talk about daughters and sons-in-laws and grandkids all day, and we could all get emotional, and we could have a great talk. Today, I'm talking not about your biological family. I'm talking to you about church family, because we need to live. Here's the word. Are you ready? I'm going to give you a word. It's not a new word, but it's new in this context. We want to develop a community of believers that are connected by the love of God with a primary purpose of worshiping, evangelizing, and discipling every person who we have influence with. Whether that's through a Right Now Media video series with Woody, whether that's through a Wednesday night group, whether that's through our youth ministry, our children's ministry, our senior adult ministry, whether it's through giving away food in the parking lot or giving out hurricane supplies during a hurricane, which, by the way, we're hoping not to have another one of those for a long time. Okay? Let's go ahead and start praying now. We don't have any hurricanes in September. Y'all want to do that? Let's just go ahead and start praying now. We want you to feel a part. We want you to be connected. We don't want you to feel like, yeah, I go to church there, but I'm not connected. I want you to be connected if you're willing to be. If you're not willing to be connected, please keep coming, because we're kind of like flypaper. If you buzz around long enough, you're going to get stuck. And we like that. We want you here. If there's something you disagree with that's going on here, don't worry, I do too. There's things I wish were different. And I'm going to work to make them better, and I hope you will too, because together, I speak to my council, I speak to my staff, I speak to my literal family, I speak to my church family. Let's create a community here that's not about style. Are we going to do it well? We're going to do it well, Mike. When I stand up and preach to you, I will have spent hours in prayer and in the Word before I stand here and deliver a message to you. I will promise you that on Wednesday night when I teach to you, I will be prepared and I will be ready. So it's not about slacking. It's about all of us saying, every time I come to church, I'm going to try to meet one more person. Spend time together. Because the body of Christ moving forward is going to be challenged like never before. There are people in high government positions whose goal is to shut down churches. They don't understand that he's the head of the church and you can't shut us down. They don't understand that yet. They don't get that, but guess what? God is in control, and I'm telling you that what God is doing, not is getting ready to do, but what God is doing at Loxley Church is a divine thing. It is a special thing, and I want you involved. Over the next couple weeks, we're going to talk about being involved. You say, I'm already involved. I'm on the worship team. But what if God's calling you to start a group? Did you know on Wednesday night, there's places that we really need some help? And you sit at home and watch. I know what you do, because at 6 o'clock, you watch Jeopardy, and at 6:30, you watch Wheel of Fortune. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because that's what I do when I'm not up here at the church. I don't know about you, but I wish Aaron Rodgers would stick with this Jeopardy gig and just leave the Packers behind. He does a good job. Say, hey, Pastor Rick, I'm willing to help. Hey, Pastor Kevin, I'm here to help. Hey, young adult ministry, why don't you bring all, if your house is big enough, why don't you bring all the young adults over to our house and we'll cook burgers for them on the grill and we'll hang out and play some, oh, we can't play lawn darts anymore, can we? They're not safe. We'll play cornhole. Those of you who don't know what lawn darts are, you don't know what fun is. It's when you throw sharp weapons at each other. It's amazing when you're 6 years old throwing lawn darts. The fact I have two eyes left is a miracle. Let's be family. Let me be your pastor. Let's love each other and this community and all of the people we come in contact with in such a way that people will be drawn not to us, but to Christ. And that's what matters in this family. So I asked Barbara to come play. I had a form made up that I was going to have you fill out today. After everything happened with my dad, I just said, I'm going to do that another day. We'll probably do it in 2 weeks. I want to know where you're at in your faith. It's not something you're going to get up and shout. On a scale of 1 to 10, Pastor, right now I'm a 4. I hadn't opened my Bible in a year. We don't want to know that. You don't have to tell us that. But we're going to find ways to let you tell us, hey, I need to grow in my faith. And then my responsibility, the leadership's responsibility, is to give you opportunities to grow in that area. I believe God has called some of our young people to ministry. I believe there's young people, young adults in our church who God has called them to vocational ministry, meaning that's what they do with their life. How are they going to get trained for that? I'm willing to train them if they're willing to be trained. We have small group leaders. We have some teachers in this church that can out-teach anybody in this. I mean, we have amazing teachers right here, but some of you that have the gift of teaching, you're not teaching right now because we don't have a Sunday school structure. But guess what? On a Tuesday afternoon in your living room, you could teach some women. Some of you men that can teach. We need to set up a driving range out back. I learned 2 weeks ago. So Danny Breeden and Jerry and Barry and whoever's out there can teach our young boys how to hit a golf ball. You say, what does that matter? Ask the boys who learned to hit a golf ball. Because somebody older than them took time to teach them something and just loved on them. That's what Loxie Church is about. It's about hitting golf balls in the backyard. It's about giving out food in the parking lot. It's about sending money to missionaries like Chuck Quinley, who changing the world. We get to support it. We can't go to Thailand right now, but by golly, we can support him. It's about being who we are and being okay with that and saying, now let's get some more people on board. How do we do that? How does the church grow? This is rocket science. You ready? It's when you invite somebody to come. Now, don't invite them to church. Here's what you don't do, and we're going to pray. Don't say, look, I want you to come to my church. Now, it's a little bit cold, and the pastor's kind of boring, and the music's kind of loud, and there's this one guy that always wears a red shirt and says Roll Tide. Avoid him. That was a joke for Jerry Rodda, since he's not here. I was referring to Jerry Rodda, none of y'all, because I love Jerry Rodda. Don't tell them what to avoid. Don't tell them how bad it is. Just tell them, I want you to come to church with me and meet some people and introduce them to the people you sit around, which means you need to get to know the people sitting around you before you invite somebody and introduce them. Let's create a community here where discipleship is the highest goal. Pastor, why is discipleship the highest goal? Because Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. That makes it a highest priority. How do we do that? We love them. Did you know if you love somebody, they'll do just about anything for you? If they love you, they'll do it. Why is that? Because that's what genuine love does. That's why Jesus went to a cross. And that's why the rest of his disciples, except for John, ended up dying They tried to kill John. He just refused to die. They all gave their life for who? For Jesus. Why? Because Jesus loved them, and they loved him. This is what church is about. So I'm going to invite you today, over the next couple weeks. Next week, there'll be somebody else speaking. We're working on that right now. I have some direction, but I don't have the answer yet. I will let you know when I do. It's going to be an amazing Sunday next Sunday. But let's get ourselves set up. We're going to have a couple Sundays after I get back from my dad's service. We're going to have a couple Sundays to get ready for Mother's Day. And between Mother's Day and Father's Day, there's 6 weeks. We're going to have a push. It's not going to be like bring a friend to church day, okay? That's every Sunday. Bring a friend to church. Let's see what God will do as we get ready to move toward the summer, because I believe there are lost people all around us who simply need to know somebody cares. And if they'll come here, they're going to find those people. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I got great news for you. You are the reason we do everything we do. And if you're here today and you're struggling with your faith, it's okay. It's okay. Just keep struggling till you find Jesus, because he is the answer. You're battling with addiction. You're battling with problems. Hang in there. Keep moving forward. Deliverance is coming. Would you stand with me? I want to ask you. Again, we're not signing up for anything today. But I'm going to ask you to join me, and let's look at Loxley Church coming out of this pandemic time that we've had for the last 13 months now. I keep saying 11, it's 13. Let's look at this place as a church plant, and let's find new and creative ways to engage people and get them involved in the Great Commission. Are you ready for that? Father, today, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, today I pray your Holy Spirit will convict them and draw them not to a church, not to a pastor, but to Christ. Draw them to a place that they're ready to turn their life over to you, Lord. To surrender themselves, like the song said earlier, in full surrender to the Lord. I pray today that they would be saved before they leave this place. And for all the rest of us, Lord, most folks here today have been here before. Most folks have watched before. I'm not a new face or a new voice, but today's message is a little different, because today is a day of new beginnings. Today is a day where we say family matters. Family matters so much that we're willing to lay aside our differences for a common cause, and that cause is souls. It's evangelism, it's discipleship, and we're going to do it in new ways, in creative ways. Whether somebody's watching on a computer right now or they're standing on the front row, they're just as much a part of this church as each other is. We value people over programs. We value discipleship. We value love and mercy and peace. We value your word going forth. We value those things that are most important, especially in the way we treat one another and speak to one another and encourage one another. So as we do move forward, I pray that you would let your grace be upon this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Now, let's start now. If there's somebody you don't know around you, just go tell them your name. If you're not shaking hands yet, just wave at them. They'll understand you're not shaking hands. Just wave at them. Meet somebody before you leave here today.